But How to Hear the Voice of God, Part 1. And I think this will kind of play in to what we're going to be talking about on Sunday also. So, you know, just asking the questions. Why am I here? Why are we here? Why is anything? I don't know if you ever asked those questions. What's the meaning of life? What's the reason for creation? I mean, God, why'd you make a tree or, you know, just whatever? And Paul kind of sums things up right here in this prayer that just spilled out of him. And I want you to understand when I say spilled out of him, Paul would be trying to write an epistle. And in the middle of that, he would get so excited that worship and praise would come out of him, and that would write that down. A prayer would come out of him. You know what I mean? Paul is saying, okay, you know, here it is, and all of a sudden, our great God and Savior and the Lord, I mean, he would get excited, and it would spill out. Well, right here in the middle of his epistle was another great prayer that spills out. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Remember we were talking about how does he bless you? He doesn't bless you according to what you deserve, but according to his riches. So you remember we were making that comparison. Bill, if I give $100 and Bill Gates give $100, that's Bill Gates didn't give according to his riches. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints the depth, or the breadth, length, depth, height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is Paul, is kind of, says if he reaches the very peak of his praying for believers in this prayer. As if the reason for everything is that they might come to know the love of Christ. The love of Christ which what? Passes knowledge. And be filled with all the fullness of God. You want to know why you're here? To know the love of Christ and to be filled with the fullness of God. That sounds too simple. So we've come to the fact that love, not just love, divine love. You know, we talked about that being so much. Divine love is the foundation of all there is. It's the foundation of everything. And we know divine love is a person named Jesus. By him and for him were all things created. He is the love of God made manifest. So the basis of everything is divine love. Now, if we go back before creation, and we just kind of laying some foundation here, there is a Holy Trinity. I believe all you guys believe in the Holy Trinity. If not, we need to talk. Holy Trinity. There's a Father, there's a Son, there's a Holy Spirit. These three are one. Yet there's three. Yet there's one. So in the Holy Trinity, you have this infinite communication. And this is where everything begins. The Gospel of John hints at it all through John. You know, John kind of portraying Jesus as Son of God. Jesus is constantly speaking of before the world began. Before the world was. Glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world began. He speaks of before he came here. He speaks of the glory that he had. And In John 1 and 1, what's it say? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the Greek, that it what it says there is, in the beginning the Word already was. That's how you would read it in the Greek. In the beginning the Word already was, and the Word was with God. With there is a direction word. It means towards. As if the Son, Jesus, is ever towards the Father. ever coming to the Father, ever in the immediate presence of the Father. Does that make sense? Does that kind of bring that into a little bit of light? In the beginning, with God, the Word was towards God. The Word was in the presence of God. The Word was ever coming towards God. And then in John 1:18, it says, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. That's to a Hebrew, that's very strong, strong love language. Okay? It's to describe the infinity of love. So before the beginning, God the Son is seen, ever coming to God the Father. And God the Father is ever coming to God the Son. And that's what it means to be in the bosom of the Father, or in the love embrace. So from before the beginning, before creation, you have God loving God. And the love that God is of such infinite intensity that love is a person. Now that brings us right into the Holy Spirit. The Father loves the Son loves the Father, and that love is the Holy Spirit. I know that, see, that doesn't sound exciting. I look at these words and it doesn't sound exciting because, my God, in today's charismatic movement, the Holy Spirit is power. Give me power to cast out demons and do all these. But in reality, the Holy Spirit is gentle. The Holy Spirit is love. You understand what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit, you've been filled with the love, the Holy Spirit, and of course that love is power. Love was seen in its peak in the cross, what we call the foolishness of God. How could that be the love of God manifest in the cross? I thought it would be doing all these other great acts of power. But the wisdom of God, the love of God is put on display in the cross. You could say that the Holy Spirit is the unbegun celebration of love that is in the Holy Trinity. Now, we got this scripture here that John writes in his epistle, God is love. So what does that mean? God is love. I know what we think it means. That means we think he's real nice. You know, I mean, that's what we do with God's name. But you see, love can't exist in a vacuum. And see, if we don't understand the purpose and meaning here, we'll never know what it is to hear the voice of God. But love cannot exist in a vacuum. If you have love, love must have an object. So the Father loved the Son. So what happened then? The Son loved the Father. And the Holy Spirit is that celebrating love. And there you have the concept of God is love. So if I've got the Father, I've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, I've got these three right here. We've said this before, God is the original family. God is original society. So we worship, the God we worship is family. He is society. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in that society, there is communication. There's conversation. There was knowing, one knowing the other. Remember we spent 5 or 6 weeks on no man can come unto the Father. Let me go back and get that verse because that was in Matthew 11. Let me go over there and get that verse. All things are Matthew 11:27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So there was a knowing between the Father and the Son. and the Son and the Father. And now you've been invited into that knowing. You've been invited into that knowing. So we worship God as family. So it's not a lonely God sitting out in the silence of space somewhere, as people seem to think. He's family, original family. So that we got conversation before there was ever even a creation. So the Father here is ever speaking with the Son. There's an ongoing conversation between the Father and the Son. And out of that comes the determination of God, or the will of God. And all three are speaking with each other. There's divine strategy. There's divine planning. There's divine purpose. Why do I say that? Because creation didn't happen on a whim. You understand what I'm saying? I believe we as Christians understand that. It's not just boom, it happened. There was a purpose in it, a plan. They planned it out. They had a strategy in this whole thing right here. It wasn't, you know, just as science tries to tell us. It didn't happen on a whim. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a cosmic accident. It's by God who had conversation with God. So there's conversation. The first time we hear the conversation in the Bible is right slap dab in the beginning. Genesis 1, we get led into that divine conversation when God said, "Let there be light." So we've got right there the will of the Father. It was the word of the Son. And then we've got the Spirit of God hovering on the waters, moving on the face of the waters. We've got the Holy Trinity at work in the creation. So we got all this creation. Why? For what? In order that, because remember, this all started with a divine strategy. And I'm trying to, this may sound boring, but I'm trying to lay this out to you, because what's lacking in the body of Christ today is hearing the voice of God. And we think God is withholding. And what I want to lay this out for you is to show you that God is not withholding anything. So there's a creation here in order that there could be a creature made in the image of God. Now, why would God make a creature in His image? He didn't make a whale in His image. He didn't make a monkey in His image. I don't care what Darwin said. He didn't make a fish in His image. The Philistines had that. They had their god was a fish god. That's what Dagon was. That was their image. But God makes a man in His image and after His likeness. Why? So that that man, that creature, would be capable of knowing the love of the Father. The very thing we just read right there in Matthew. That this creature would be capable of knowing the love of the Father. Capable of receiving that love. Capable of responding to that love. A creature. Yes, he's a creature, but yet the creature would be capable of setting down with the Holy Trinity, with the family of God, and joining the divine conversation. That's the meaning of existence. That's why we're here. God, for God so loved the world, didn't begin with man's sin. God created because He would have a creature that could share His, that He could share His love with. And that creature might participate in His love and join in the conversation. And this is one of the things we've got to get beyond thinking of God's love only in terms of saving mercy. We've got to get beyond that. Yes, he loved us, and we were lost, and we were sinners, and his love saved us, and I thank God for that. I'm not doing away with that. And a side note, if you were lost, that means you're not where you were intended to be. So if we were lost, there was a divine intention of where I was supposed to be. Where was that divine intention? I'm supposed to be knowing the Father, and the Father knowing me. And see, Jesus says you've been invited. You don't know the Father, you don't know the Son, but now you've been invited into that same knowing that I know the Father and how the Father knows me. You've been invited into that. He's showing that. I mean, Jesus comes and says that where I am, there you may be also. Where is he? We just read he's in the bosom of the Father, and I told you what that meant. You see what I'm talking about? Jesus said that where I am, you may be also. Well, I thought Jesus wasn't in heaven in a big old house, a mansion. But the scripture tells us he's in the bosom of the Father. And he went back to the bosom of the Father. But then I explained to you what being in the bosom of the Father meant. So you, Jesus, when he carried you, where did he carry you? Back into the bosom of the Father, where you were intended to be all along. Now, what was God's original intention? That you would be friends of God. Now, remember, we took 16 weeks talking about the covenant to show you what friends really meant. You see how, I mean, it takes a long time to explain that because we got Western culture mindset, so it takes a long time to go into all that, but friend of God, that you could interact with the Father, interact with the Son, interact with the Holy Spirit. Friends. What did Jesus tell his disciples? Now you're my friends. That was a great covenant term right there. And you know, it's like when I talk to my friends, I mean, like when I talk to Brother Jeffrey, he's my friend. Do you realize how informal our conversation is? You know what I'm talking about? And you know, like when you go to somebody's house that's friends, like you just sit around the kitchen table, or, you know, I mean, you might sit around the campfire. You know what I mean? You can let your hair down. You're friends. Don't have to put on no show. I'm not trying to impress anybody. Friends. I know you. You know me. That's an intention of God. Y'all remember, I guess you call it a magazine called Reader's Digest. I used to read those Reader's Digest. They did a survey years ago in Reader's Digest. The three sentences that people want to hear the most, hear somebody say more than any other thing. Number one is, I love you. Number two, I forgive you. Number three, supper's ready. Now, why would they say that? I mean, have you ever, and I don't know if you've ever been there or not, but I mean, just ever been lonely? Flat lonely? I mean, you know, been away on a holiday or something, and you see the joy of everybody else, the family's coming in, and you just want to be part of a family. There's a longing in our heart that you want to be a part. That's why that term comes in, supper's ready. That means you've been invited. You're here. You're welcome. It's family time. It's joyous time. So that longing is put in us. We were created for the Holy Trinity's kitchen table, created to sit down and visit. I mean, Meshavabeth, I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Created to visit with God and hear his affirming love words and his love commissioning. Now the first piece of knowledge given to us of God is to be let in on what's being said in the Holy Trinity. And it says, and God said. You know what that word God is right there if you translate that over? Because you know there's a lot of different words There's Jehovah. There's Elohim. There's Adonijah. There's El Shaddai. I mean, we go on and on and on. Each one is revealing a character of God. And this one right here, it's Elohim. Elohim, if you ever read in Hebrew, you know, when we make something past tense in America, we put ED on it. If we want to make it plural, we put an S on it. To a Hebrew, to make it plural, they put an IM at the end of it, Elohim, which means plural. You can look it up, and the first word in the Hebrew dictionary is plural. So when God said he wasn't talking about Jehovah here, it's Elohim, meaning these three that are one, the Holy Trinity, spoke. And when the Holy Trinity spoke, creation began. And so by the end of chapter 1 of Genesis here, we got the man. And we got man and woman. And I know you said, no, wait a minute, the woman didn't come to Genesis 2. Beg to differ. Where was the woman? She was in the man. She just wasn't seen yet. Just like Levi wasn't seen yet, but though he was in the loins of Abraham. You was there. You was there also because you all sprang from Adam. So, he's got the man and the woman here. She's in him. And they are to be included into this conversation. And the conversation really gets going here. I mean, God says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let us. He's talking about the Holy Trinity. Let us, the Holy Trinity, make man in our image after our likeness. That means he created man capable of being part of this love. Capable of participating, partaking of the love of God. He created man as society. I mean, that's what we read there in Ephesians. When it says in him the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. He's the one who caused us to be reaching out. We were made to be loved by God. Made to be filled with that love and to love one another. That's how we were made. That's why people have such longings in their heart. We could say that, you know what, and I mean, we were made to be lovers. Not supposed to say that, but I mean, you know, that's how we were made. It's the meaning of our existence. And then after he made a man in his image and after his likeness, what's he do? Blesses them. God blessed them. Elohim blessed them. Elohim blessed them. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit blessed them. And said to them, see, now they're getting involved. Now it's personal. You see what I mean? Now it's not, he's not talking to trees and rocks and whales and birds. Now it's personal. God made them and now he's talking to them and he's blessing them. The conversation that has been going on, the strategy, the plan, the conversation is now personal. That's been going on since before time in the Godhead, in the Trinity, is now reaching out to this man, and now it's including man into the conversation. And he says, you that I've just created, be fruitful. Multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over everything. I've given you every herb, I've given you it all. Right here. And so as the conversation is taking place, the man is being told of his responsibilities. He's introduced to the fact that he's Lord of creation. He's steward under God. He's now seen that everything that God has made is now in their hands. To be ruled over. So God is he's given them a description of their place within creation. He's telling them who they are, what they're to do. He's describing, he's mirroring, if you will, who they are and their mission. and they are in the conversation. God didn't just make Adam and say, okay, here you go. Have at it. Do your best. Right? He lined him out. Brought him into the conversation. The reason to converse. And in that conversation, man is going to take dominion. He's going to have dominion. All in part of that conversation. Man is going to be steward of the earth. He blessed them. Now, we talked about this word blessed. I got to go back into it just a little bit. The word blessed there, he blessed them. God blessed them. He bestowed upon them supreme honor. That is, it counted them of supreme worth. And you know, a lot of people throw those words around, like love y'all, or they just say they love everybody. And I hear people on the, you know, say that on the radio. Well, I love everybody. Well, that's a lie. You don't. You don't even know them. You understand what I'm saying? It seems churchy to tell everybody you love them, but in reality, you don't. God loves them, but you don't. You can't. So to bless, you just don't go blessing everybody. You just don't go bestow supreme honor on anybody. You know what I mean? There has to be something going on here. So God is bestowing this supreme honor on this man that he's made in his image and after his likeness. He's blessed. A blessing in its presupposition is this person has been selected, has been set aside as one that is honored, one that is of great worth, one that is the focus of great love. And this one is then empowered to live in all the promises that the lover has given to him. Does that make sense? So a blessed person is one that is supremely loved. Now think about what I just told you right here, because I hear Christians tell me all the time that they're greatly blessed, but they never include love in the sentence. I'm blessed because God gave me a job. I'm blessed because I missed that rest. You know what I mean? Now the scriptures tells us, Paul tells us, that we've all been blessed. All spiritual blessings, heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now what I'm telling you is that means you are supremely loved and honored. How much so? That the precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed on your behalf. You couldn't be any more honored that God Himself has died for you. This is how loved you are. And a blessed person, one with their eyes open, sees that. Because see, if God blessed me to have a job, which I'm not saying He doesn't bless me to have a job, but that's not what He's talking about, then what happens when I don't have a job? Do I become unblessed? But when I really see this, I never lose my position of being blessed, whether I have a job or whether I don't have a job. I'm blessed. I'm supremely loved. I'm supremely honored. Counted of great worth. And He's given great promises. And out from that love and in the blessing itself, I'm talking about Adam and Eve here, they are empowered to lay hold and to be and to do the blessings. What was? Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion on. God was saying to man here, to Adam, you are loved, greatly honored, of supreme worth. Your body relates to the beast, but your essential self relates to God. You're the only creature made in God's image and after His likeness. You're loved, and that love gives you worth. That love defines your value. And now this is your mission. Go and do it. Do it in the strength of that love and the power that is given there. in the strength of that love. See, here we are back to the Holy Spirit. And let me go back to this verse, and you can see the context of it. But let me go over here to Colossians. Eustonice's words here, Colossians 1 and 11. You've been strengthened with all might. You're dunamized with all dunamis. According to his glorious power, unto what? To walk on the water, cast out devils, and heal the sick and raise the dead. Well, all that's a part of it, but here is the part. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You've been given the Holy Spirit, who is love, so that you can love and know love. And that's what he's saying. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Now in that love, go and have dominion. In that love, go and multiply. In that love, subdue the earth. Love. And the strength of that love. Now, in this ongoing conversation here, I want you to understand something. Here, Adam and Eve, they fall. They sin, they fall. But I want you to notice something here. When they fell, they still heard the voice of God. I don't know if you ever thought about that. They still heard the sound of love in the garden. And they weren't even surprised. As a matter of fact, they knew when it was coming. They went and hid. See, now, instead of joining in the conversation, they're afraid. But they was never surprised that he was there. Now, I know God is everywhere, but he shows up in a unique fashion. I know God is always here, but sometimes he shows up in a unique fashion. There is a more manifest presence of him. You understand what I'm talking about? This is where God, when he would come and he fellowships, and he's coming to talk to these guys. He's coming in this unique way down here to fellowship with Adam and Eve, as he obviously had been doing. And these guys knew when they heard that it was God coming. They were used to his voice. They knew it. They were used to his sound. In other words, they didn't look up and say, "What is that? You know, what is that? Is that a motorcycle or a jet plane? I can't really make the difference." They knew. But yet they're afraid. They're running high. And when God speaks to them, they understand what he says. "Where are you at? Who told you his name?" They had a conversation. Listen. Now this is one of the things, and this is one of the reasons I wanted to do this lesson. It's because how many Christians today wonder, "God, is that you speaking?" Adam is in sin. Adam and Eve had just sinned. They just made a deal with the devil. But yet they know the voice of God. I don't know if you ever get that. How many Christians today know the voice of God? Listen, I know, and I'm not saying this making fun of anybody. I've been right there. I'm like, "Lord, is that you speaking?" So what do we do? Me and Dad coming up through, everybody would put the fleece out. Why would you put the fleece out? You're putting the fleece out because you're not hearing. You know, look, me and Dad have a relationship. Dad says, "Mow the yard." I don't got to put the fleece out to see. Was that Dad talking? Did he say mow the yard? I don't really understand him because I'd get fleeced. You with me? But when we're dealing with God and Christians are dealing with God, they're always putting the fleece out. "God, is that you? Make this happen. If that's really you..." I'm thinking, you know, it would be easier in the conversation, "God, if you would just email me. Or nowadays, just send me a text message. I'll just..." "What's your phone number? I'll put you down as God. Hey, there's a show out. God texted me, or God faced friend of me, or..." You know, they got a TV show where God's my friend on Facebook. And Adam and Eve knew the voice of God. They understood the voice of God. So hearing the voice of God was part of the original human. You were in that. You were in Adam. So it was a part of the original human being. He understood the voice. He understood it so plain it was just as you're understanding me. Just as a human was talking to human. That's original human, to hear that voice, to obey that voice, to converse. That's how we were set up to function. So sin from one angle would be to what? If I'm set up to hear the voice of God, sin from this angle would be I listen to another voice. Which is exactly what happened. That other voice was none other than the snake. Old Satan himself. So this is at the heart of original sin. And when Satan comes there, what's he there for? He doesn't have anything to offer except to discredit God and lay suspicion. Has God really said? God, do you really think he is? I want to lay suspicion on the character of God here. Ultimately calling God a liar. That's what he was doing. They took the bait. What was that bait? You'll be as gods. You'll be as gods independent of God. Just eat of the fruit of this tree, the knowledge of good and evil. Now, you're wondering what this tree is. Maybe this will help explain a little bit to you. It's not primarily in the sense of moral good and moral evil. That's not what this meant. It's down at, if we were going through the definition of the word, and you know we are, we start when we give a word out in definition, we give you the strongest meaning first. And then we go down the list, and we get to the minimal meaning down at the bottom. So moral good and evil would be in here, but it'd be way down the list. What he's talking about here is it good in the sense of nice, pain-free. And good in the sense of the checkout lady at Walmart says, have a good day. What does she really mean? Go out and have a day free of sin? That's not what she means, is it? When you say to somebody, have a good day. What you really mean is, I hope that your day is free of pain. I hope everything goes your way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I hope everything goes your way. It's good in that sense. I hope everything goes your way. I hope you get everything you want. So evil here would mean that this is going to hurt me. It's going to bring me pain. It's going to, for me to have a bad day, which would mean things that I don't like happen in the day. How many times do you talk to people? Oh, it's been a terrible day. Bad day. What happened? Oh, so we list all these things out, but we call them a bad day. What are we doing? We're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because you ain't smart enough to know if it's a good day or not. But yet, you and your great wisdom and reasoning are going to sit there and call it a bad day. You're going to call it an evil day because things didn't go your way. You got something that you didn't want. Something hurt you. Days I don't like, I call them bad days. So, if who in their right mind can tell now whether it's a good day or a bad day? Who in their right mind can judge between good and evil? Because today may seem good. Everything went my way. It was a good day. Everything went my way. Well, tomorrow, what I call good today, maybe tomorrow I wished I hadn't got that. Have you ever... Oh, it was a good day, man. We went out and ate. It was so good. The food was fabulous. And then all of a sudden, you get sick. Wish I'd have never ate that. Well, wait a minute. You done sat there in the judgment seat and said it was good. It was the best day ever. You see what I mean? I mean, you know, just throwing stuff out there. I mean, here you are 16 years old. And here comes the girl of your dreams. Oh, God. If she would just, you know, if I could just let her catch, you know, let me catch her attention, you know, my life would be fulfilled. and she grows up to be a raven thief lunatic. And then you're looking back, and you're all sad when she was dating a star football player, and you had a bad day because she didn't even know your name, but you look back at it, and now, see, at that time, you called it a bad day, but in essence, it was a good day because you didn't have the wisdom and reason to see what was in the future. But the devil's temptation was, if you'll do this, you'll have it all. You'll have all this knowledge. You'll be able to live by your own reason. You'll be able to call it a good day. You'll be able to call it a bad day. Don't we live by that? If I could say that today, now, it's good or evil. If I could make that determination that this is good or this is evil, I would have to know all the pre-causes, everything that has happened to bring about this day specifically, this very moment, which means I would have to know the history of all y'all involved, which would take me all the way back to Adam as to why you're the way that you are and I am the way that I am. I would have to know all of that, all the streams that flow into this moment. But also I would have to know where everything is headed out from this moment and how that this moment affects all of those other moments. But yet the devil says, man, if you'll eat this, you'll have all that. You'll have all that knowledge. You'll be as gods. You'll know good and evil. You'll be able to call the shots so that nothing will hurt you. You'll have all good days. And so we believed him. And, you know, we spend most of our time calling it good days and bad days. Well, you know what a complaint is? You know, we've been talking about this for a long time. A complaint is, I'm passing judgment on the day. It's a bad day. I don't like the way this day is going. So therefore, I'm going to complain about it. Because I'm a God. And I don't like the evil that's coming to me, the hurt, the pain that I feel. So I'm going to pass judgment on it. Which means I'm not believing what I preached the last 4 weeks, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I live by the word of faith. So I'm not going to sit here and say in the middle of this is good or this is evil. What I'm going to say in the middle of this is Jesus Christ is Lord. You with me? So a complaint is Jesus Christ is not Lord. I'm Lord and I'm calling it a bad day. I don't like it because of what's happening to me. That's a complaint. So what do we do? And I'm guilty of this, guys. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm guilty of this. I mean, I end up complaining about church. I end up complaining about the president, complaining about those running for president, complaining about the schools, complaining about the lunches, complaining about the slow service. I mean, don't we? We start complaining about everything. We're all little pretend gods throwing around our wisdom. And that's all the essence of original sin. I've listened to the wrong voice. We've listened to the wrong voice. And looking at it from this angle, I could look at the fall of man and say, man chose reason over revelation. He's still doing it. We were made to live by revelation, not reason. Man was created to hear from God, the truth, to order his life, to fulfill his mission, and to know who he is, all by the voice of God. And when I say revelation, it's not with natural eyes. Man chose to go with his own reason and reject revelation. He wanted to go by his own idea of good and evil. I can say it this way. Man was created upward, upright, I think the scripture says, upright. What that means is you were created to hear from. It doesn't mean you didn't walk on all fours. It means you were created upright in order to hear and converse with God. That's what being upright means. I need to hear from God as to why I'm here. Who am I? My specific mission. And I would receive all that. Receive the love from God. Receive all those answers from God. And the fuel by which I live, which is love, all from Him. I've been over 18 years. Been over. So now I've been over. So now what am I doing? I'm looking at you for my worth. Oh, please tell me I'm worth. So tell me I'm good. Please tell me who I am. You wasn't made for me to tell you who you are. You was made to hear from the voice of God. You with me? So, but we're bent over, and I need love. And do you love me? Am I okay? What should I do? I hear people say that all the time. They say, "What should I do? What should I do? What should I do?" Why are you coming to me with what you should do? What happens is we listen to the voice of the creature. We fulfill the verses Paul wrote. We're now worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. We listen to many, 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 many voices. Many, 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 many opinions of people that are just as lost as we are. It's amazing, isn't it? Where am I going? What am I supposed to do? Who am I? And they don't know who they are or where they're going. They're lost too. I mean, that's ignorant. I mean, that's like me being on the road and I'm lost and you're lost. And I'm asking you for directions. Well, it looks good to go this way. Okay, well, you don't know where you're going either. Why did I tell you all of that? I told you all of that to say this. Listening is a choice. Now, y'all going to know what I'm talking about right here. Listening is a choice. Actually, the art of listening is a matter of what you choose to block out. Because there's a million voices, there's a million noises coming at you. So it's not what you choose to hear, it's what you choose not to hear. Now, what did we talk about last week? We talked about that consecration lamb that was slain, and the blood was put on the ear. The blood's put on the ear because you're not supposed to listen to all that stuff anymore. You're supposed to have your ear tuned in to one. So listening is a choice to block all that out. And I know we as creatures can block other people out. We call it tuning them out. You know, Oakley says something, Maddie's tuning him out. Amen. Maddie's tuning him out. So you've made a choice there in your listening. What happened in the fall was man blocked the voice of God. And he listened to the snake. He turned, and the snake got him to turn his attention to himself. Listen to his own reason. So man had chosen not to listen to God. But yet Adam still knew the voice. He still had the ability. And I'll say we're never so lost that we can't hear the voice of God. Adam may have been scared to death, but the point is he still knew the voice. And when the voice came, I want you to get this, when the voice came, it wasn't the voice of judgment. Oh, I'm going to get you, Adam. It was the voice of love that came to Adam in the garden. He said, "Where are you?" I mean, why would he say that? He knew where he was. Adam was in God, so Adam is hiding in God, from God. Adam, where are you? What have you done, Adam? I mean, this is the humility of love that still is coming towards us. What was God doing? God was seeking to restart the conversation. Talk to me, Adam. Talk to me. This is why I'm here. This is why you are here, to have this conversation. When I throw this question, and it's why God, has God ever asked you guys a question, laid a question in your heart? Why? Why would Jesus go around and ask questions? Why would he ask Ezekiel to start a conversation? Can these bones live? God knows the bones can live. That's not the point. The point is that, Ezekiel, I want you to talk with me. You see what I'm talking about? So God lays a question on your heart. And you know what most people do? This is okay. I understand it. Most people that have a question bring it to a preacher. Why? I didn't put the question in there. I'm not the answer. I may have the answer. I may not. And that's okay. You understand what I'm saying? God put the question in there because He wants to talk to you. He wants you to come and then be with Him and talk to Him about it. I'm telling you the truth. Because I would think sometimes, well, God, who am I going to ask? And listen, I got to talk to Him and ask questions. But I'm telling you, 90% comes from God. I'm talking, and it comes in weird ways. It comes in weird times. It just comes in all kinds of different stuff. But we're talking, and all of a sudden, whew, I'm hearing a locust out there. And a revelation will come through some stinking locust. That's only God, but you learn to hear the voice of God. You see what I mean? So, God could have said, look, Adam, I know what you did. I know where you're at. And I'm coming to get you. But He's trying to initiate the conversation. He's doing that by questions. He's like, come on, Adam, talk to me. When you have questions about stuff, God put that question in there, and He's wanting to talk to you about it. Because Jesus is the answer. He's the Word. He wants you to come with Him. Come to Him with it. And as they leave the garden, the voice of God is taken for granted as being part of human existence. It's there. They knew that voice as opposed to anything else. They knew the difference between God speaking and the voice of Satan. They knew the difference. Christians today don't know the difference. We were made to hear God, but the human race has blocked the voice of God off. We've killed our faculties. That's the reason Jesus would say, he that hath an ear, let him hear. But I want to say this, and this is where I'm going to quit. Even a person not born again, and guys, you know what? You were there at one point in time. You were dead in trespasses and sin. And right here we are. In that day, listen to this. Verily, verily, John chapter 5, verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. And now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. They that hear shall live. Guess what? That was you. And that was me. So even in my death, and dead in trespasses and sin, that faculty was awakened. And it was brought alive. And Lazarus come forth. Lazarus naturally was dead and still heard the voice. What I'm saying is, we have it, but we have to learn to block everything else out. It's a conscious choice to choose to hear the voice of God. You, through the gospel, heard God speak to your heart. That's how you got saved. You were dead. But that voice came. And those that hear the voice of who? The voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. And that's what happened to you. You heard the voice. It came through. How did the voice come through? Now just go back. Did it come through from the sky? Probably came through some preacher somewhere. You don't even know what the sermon he was preached, but something had pricked your heart. Something inside of you rose up. And you said, I got to know him. Something's got to be done. Something happened. You were hearing the voice of God. And that's where we're going to be. Is that voice didn't come from a great big voice on the outside. It didn't come from the sky and the clouds. It didn't come from Melchizedek.
Still small.
Yeah. So I'll quit.